kind of hard to know where to start and how to respond. Obviously, I prepared for that this morning, so I went out and bought just a boatload of Kleenex just in case I need them or you need them. So if at any point today you feel emotional, please, Rachel, come up and take a handful of these for you. It's been an incredible journey that we've been able to be on. When I saw those pictures here this morning of our children's department, it is fascinating that just yesterday afternoon, probably about 4 o'clock, the last final pieces that Connie had ordered for some of the decorations in Upstreet were finalized. So if you could get back to the nursery at all in any way, you'll have to see them because they are breathtaking as to what's taking place. To say thank you is an understatement. It's such a simple word, and you'll hear me end that way as well. But I'm incredibly grateful to be a part of your life and a part of your journey. And I could never thank you enough for the love you have given us and the love you have shared with us. Believe it or not, you have heard over 1,000 sermons from me in the last 25 plus years. It's kind of surreal to think this is the last you'll hear from me as a senior pastor. If I can ask you just a favor for a moment, and I know a lot of people are online as well, but could I just ask how many of you were here when I came? If you could stand just for a moment so I could see some of your faces. How many of you were here when I came 25 years ago? Wow. You're crazy that you kept coming for 25 years to hear me Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. So you are the ones that we need to thank this morning for continuing to support and encourage and love. Thank you. Final sermons are scary. If you think anything about the Old Testament, the final sermon of three of my favorite characters of Moses and Joshua and David all died right after their final message. When I saw that third song that we sang a moment ago here this morning, and I looked at the words, it's about over, we're almost done, I leaned over to Evan in the first service and Rachel in the second and said, I hope that's not prophetic. But when Moses finished his last sermon to the Israelites, he went up on a mountain and no one ever saw him again but God. When Joshua finished his sermon by saying, as for me and my house, we're serving God. And then he's gone. A couple of years ago, we were at Man Camp, and I heard Pastor Lou from Greensburg share about David's charge to Solomon, and I thought, oh, that's my final sermon. So I began to leaf through the pages that Lou was sharing, and all of a sudden it began by saying this, as David to Solomon, I am about to go to the way of the dust. And I went, oh, that's not the one. I mean, 11 years ago, I thought I was going to die. And I literally came out of the hospital. I still had some wires on me when I did Jimmy's dad's funeral. But I don't want to die yet. So final sermons are somewhat scary. But I'm excited to be able to do it. I wasn't sure whether or not we were able to accomplish it. A couple of years ago when we did that, he ran out of the grave with a big tombstone and the cardboard testimonies. A number of people said, that should have been your last Easter Sunday. Who knew that it would have been? And we didn't have Man Camp and we didn't have Bible school this year, but I'm so delighted that we could share Christmas together. And I kept praying and praying and praying that we could be here together today. When I came to you over 25 years ago, I want to read to you exactly what I felt out of the Word of God from 1 Corinthians chapter 2 when Paul said, look, when I came to you, this is my testimony to come to Butler. I came not with elegance or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the message about God, for I resolved to know nothing about you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and great fear and trembling. That is exactly how I came to you 25 and a half years ago. When we began ministry a long time ago in Newcastle, Pennsylvania, we believed we were going overseas. We were two interviews away from being missionaries in South America. But all of a sudden, I got a call from the district superintendent said, would you go to Beaverdale and candidate? I said, for what? We want you to be the solo pastor there. I said, okay, because I'm submitted to a constituted authority, I went. Connie didn't go with me. She said, we're going overseas. Why are we going to do this? So I went, candidated. One of the first questions the board asked me is, are you married? Yes, I have two children, as a matter of fact. If we call you as pastor, will you come and bring them with you? I said, I'm sure hoping. Because she's kind of like Granny Clampett, if you know anything about the Beverly Hillbillies. When she goes to relocate to another church, you got to put her on the top of that vehicle, strap her down, and take her to the next one. The very next morning, they called me unanimously and said, we want you to be the senior pastor. I said to my wife, what do you want to do? I suppose I should go see the place. I said, it'd be good. So we drove down. At that time, it was a dirt road, and she kept saying, oh, God, what do you do? And we stayed there and loved it. 6 years later, the DS called me and said, we want you to go to Cattersport, Pennsylvania. And she said, go ahead. So again, I went up, candidated by myself. Same question. Are you married? Do you have children? Yes, we do. Will they come? I'm hoping so. And they did. And for 10 years, we had an incredible journey. DS called me again, said, Butler Community Alliance wants to have your resume. I was scared to death. This verse here is exactly who I was. So I said to her, they want us to come to Butler. I'm going down to look at this one. I want to see this. So we came. Obviously, we've been here a long period of time. First couple of weeks, I went home. And if you know anything about Cattersport, we got a paper once a week. And the closest place to shop was an hour and a half away. So I got home after setting up my office a little bit. And she had the Butler Eagle open. And she said, look, there's a coupon for a store that I can go to in 15 minutes. This is awesome. And she said, be really quiet. I said, why? Ray Tannehill's on, KDKA. I'm home. And for 25 years, we've been home. This is as long as we've lived anywhere. And we are absolutely delighted to be in a part of your life and a part of this journey for all of those years. But when I came to you, I came in weakness, and I was scared to death. My message, as you know, probably wasn't with wise and pervasive words, but I added this line, hopefully and prayerfully, with a demonstration of the Spirit's power so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom and on God's power. Now, my charge to you also comes out of the Word of God. It is from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. Continue in what you have learned. Continue in what you have learned and become convinced of. Don't stop here. Today's not the end of anything. It's just the beginning of another chapter. Continue in what you have learned. This is an incredible church. John is right. This is an exceptional church. Of the 2,005 CNMA churches in the nation that you and I live in, the United States, this is an exceptional church. It's incredible. And my hope and my prayer is that you keep going until we see the King face to face. You keep growing, you keep loving, you keep giving. I've been blessed to have been a part of your life and a part of your families. I've done 150 weddings since I've been here, probably twice as many funerals and a lot of baby dedications. We celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary shortly after we came. I'm not sure who those people are, but they found a picture somewhere. And then we ended up celebrating our 40th and 45th. I've been blessed to work with some really amazing people. The Apostle Paul takes a risk in Romans chapter 16. It's one of those overlooked chapters, kind of like Matthew chapter 1. But the risk he takes is to thank some people personally and publicly and by name. And I mean a risk because somebody's going to get left out. And someone will say, why didn't he mention me? And why did he mention them? And I totally get that. But Denise Melnick and Linda Smith, who have been my administrative assistants for the last number of years, are insane that they would have stayed with me that long. I started with Gaylene Massert and then finished with those two in the last 15 years, and they really are exceptional. When I came here, Keith Kozik was playing high school football, and now he's been a part of our team for almost 12, 14 years. Evan was a little four-year-old or a fourth grader that I baptized, and now he's running our youth department. Bob has put up with me for almost 20 years. Betsy has worked with Connie and alongside her for over 22 years. Renata for over 19. And Margie, our accountant, has been with us for going on 15 to 20 years. Now, I say that for this reason. These people are amazing. And this team is exceptional. And the people that God's placed in our life love us enough and love this ministry and love this church enough to stay at it for a long period of time. So it's been a delight to serve by them and with them and alongside them. I know I leave a lot of people out, and I don't do that intentionally, but it's hard to know where to start and where to stop, except with Jim Mahan, who for 25 and a half years has been my friend and an elder. He's taken 2 years off during that 25 and a half years in a hiatus kind of way because you're not allowed to serve as an elder continually. But for that whole 25 and a half years, this man has called me every single week for 25 and a half years to say, I'm praying for you. How can I pray for you this week? Say thank you is such an understatement. Thank you. We've laughed together, we've cried together, we've played together, we've prayed together. I've been able to walk with you as you have buried your children, your parents, your siblings, and your spouses. I thank my God in Philippians chapter 1, which is honestly my heart for you, every single time I remember you. In all of my prayers for all of you, I pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the very first day until this very day. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on into completion until the day of Jesus Christ. It's really right for me to feel this way about all of you since I have you deep down in my heart and my soul. And so my prayer for you is again out of the word of God from Ephesians chapter 1. So for this reason, for all the reasons that I've shared and everything I've said, for this reason, ever since I've heard about your faith, ever since I came here a long time ago, in love for the Lord Jesus Christ and love for all of God's people, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, and I remember you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Father and the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you can know him better. And I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you will know the hope to which he has called us, the riches of his incredible inheritance of his holy people, and the incomparable great power for us who believe. You and I are standing on the threshold of a new chapter in the rich history of what God has done at Community Alliance Church. A few weeks ago, I said to you a little bit of the story in the early 1900s, this church was established in downtown on Mercer Street. 1964, they moved to Main Street, and 1975 to our current campus here on Mercer Road. On June 24th in 2007, we were just getting ready to go to the campaign that Bob talked about a moment ago, and I stood before you and I said these words. The magnitude and potential of what we're discussing today is one of the largest endeavors many of us have ever undertaken as a church, the results of which have eternal impact. How often do you get to make a decision like that? Every once in a while in a lifetime, you get a challenge that's so big that without God, it would be impossible to accomplish. A challenge so big that it takes your breath away, but so exciting you can't wait to start. A place where children run to church, dragging their parents with them because they can't wait to come and see what they're going to learn this week and what they'll find out and discover about God. A place where the next generation can find guidance and direction in the midst of a very confusing world, which is exactly what God has done in the last years, but especially in the last 11 years. This is more than a building. It's an incredible building. It's an overwhelming experience, and to know that this church has been around since 1900, and here we are in 2021, still thriving and striving and doing exactly what God has called us to do. And we're doing it with love and enthusiasm and passion. It's incredible. More than a building, it is a visible demonstration of the goodness and faithfulness of God and what his people can do to accomplish a vision. It's a beautiful place. But it's more than that. It is a place where the glory of God can be felt. It's a place where the people of God can come and sing and celebrate his goodness. A place where the message of God's glory and grace can be declared. It is a place where people can grow in their faith, be challenged in their thinking, be connected to one another. And it is a place where the people of God can come in an effort to find what they have found out about God and do everything they possibly can to make sure they pass on what they've learned and that somebody else can find what they have found in God. You're here for that reason. You're here to grow in your faith, to deepen your walk with God, to be excited about what he's done in your life. And you and I exist on this planet to make sure that everybody within our sphere of influence finds what we have found in God. Even with COVID, there's still room for somebody to come and find what you have found about God. If Jesus doesn't return, which he certainly may, imagine what God's going to continue to do until we see him face to face. Imagine the decisions that have been made in this place, and imagine the decisions that will be made in this place. The stories of changed lives who will either be on the big screen or on the stage. The couples who have started their journey with God, and we've been able to be a part of that. Imagine the money that we're able to raise for missionaries and ministries around the globe to the ends of the earth. Imagine the songs that we'll continue to sing, the tears that we'll shed, the babies that will be dedicated, the lives that will be changed forever. Imagine the community events we'll have. After all, we are Community Alliance Church. Imagine the people who have come through these doors searching for truth, who are frustrated or disillusioned with former or traditional church, who really want to know, what does the Bible have to say and how can I apply it to my daily life? I know there's a Bible, I know there's a God, but I never feel him, I don't understand him, and I don't understand the Word of God. And people through the last number of years continue to say over and over again, I finally found what the Lord is teaching, what the Bible says, what I can understand about God. All of that and more is why the Apostle Paul was so passionate about the church. He said, if, just imagine. At the end of a sacrifice, when they sacrificed their animals to God in the Old Testament and even at the beginning of the New Testament, and they lifted up their eyes toward heaven and just in some way began to give gratitude to God. And at the end of that offering, when it was about done and the embers were flowing down and the fire was going out, they would take that last goblet of wine in that demonstration of the glory of God and demonstration of the power and goodness of God, and they would pour it on the fire. So if you've ever been around a campfire, you know how it starts to extinguish and the vapors begin to come up. Paul said, if my whole ministry life is nothing more than that vapor that is a sweet smell in the face of God, I'd do it all over again. And that's what I've hoped my ministry has been. Jesus said, this church is my bride. It's my bride. If there's anything you know about me, you know how much I love my bride. And Jesus said, I need you to know, son, when you start pastoring a church and you start leading these people into the kingdom and you start investing into their lives, you need to know that's my bride. You treat her well. Handle her with love and with grace. District superintendent, who was a friend of mine, when he said, Butler wants you to come and they've officially given you the call of being the senior pastor at Community Alliance Church, I said, I got to be honest with you, Paul, I'm scared to death. How do I do it? He said, love them and lead them. I said, that I can do. And hopefully that's what I've done in the last 25 and a half years. Today's not the end of anything. It's the beginning of a new day. For Con and I and for Community Alliance Church. A lot of people have asked me, what are you going to do? I mean, you're ADD on steroids. So how are you going to slow down? How are you going to retire? Do you have a big list? I have a really big list. But it's not one but giving me my Connie. It's one I've had for a long period of time, just haven't been able to do it and get to it. I've been asked to speak in a couple of churches, of all things, on Easter Sunday to another church in a community around us. I had the opportunity this summer, of all things, to speak with John Stumbo, the president of the Christian Missionary Alliance, at the Eastern PA CNMA camp in Summit Grove. And John and I are going to share a pulpit together for 6.5 days. I've been asked to teach at BC3 by Dean Sherry Mack, and I've told her I would be honored to do that. And you may see me every once in a while at Fenelton Firearms, right off 422 to your right, in Fenelton, PA, every so often, maybe even once a week. Steve, you'll see me there. For CAC, you're going to see some new team members, a new style of leadership, some changes, obviously. I'm pretty sure this platform is going to go away. All of that's possible. All of that's expected. I want to thank you for allowing us the privilege to be a part of your life in this chapter and your story. For trusting us with your spiritual development and trusting us with the spiritual development of your children. It is fascinating to me as I began to think about this particular message about the amount of children who walk through the doors of the ministry of Community Alliance Church and the ministry of our children's ministry under Connie's leadership for the last 25 years. I mean, even at 150 to 200 a week, that's between 4,000 and 5,000 children have walked through those doors in the last 25 years. The thing that I love the most and one of the highlights of my life is the VBS kids every summer when this place is just filled with more energy than you could ever contain in a lifetime. Of kids who love this place and love to sing and love to celebrate, who are doing things all over this campus that an older generation would die seeing them do. But they love it. And for those last number of years, these kids have been able to raise thousands and thousands of dollars for ministries overseas in 3 countries in Africa, in Mongolia, in Jordan, Indonesia. Since 2009 alone, that VBS group has raised over 71,000 $71,000 for ministries overseas just since 2009. $71,000 just in VBS. I'm blessed to follow 16 other solo and senior pastors who've come in this rich experience of being in the 115-year-old church at Community Alliance. And until Jesus returns, more will follow. I can never thank you enough for loving us and for allowing us to stay here this long. My dad and mom really wanted to come. One of the things they really wanted to do, and obviously God decided to take them home in the meantime. When I put my messages together over the last number of months, I knew that God wanted me to share the lessons learned in the last 43 years today. And so my intention was to share it today as the last message. About a month before that, God says, you're going to share it in January. And I went, why? Just do it. So that particular Sunday, I shared that message, lessons learned. And I talked about Dad. What you didn't know is he was in the hospital at that particular point. And somebody came up to me in one of the services, and I would love for that person to identify who they are. And they said to me, would you do me a favor? If you had the opportunity to talk to your dad, would you thank him for releasing you into ministry and not keeping you on the farm? I said, I'd be happy to do that. So that afternoon, I went home, and I called my dad in the hospital, and I said, Dad, this is what somebody said to me this morning. And they wanted me to thank you for releasing me into ministry because of what God's done in their life. And I just wanted to tell you that. And we cried together, and we talked for a little while together. And that was the very last conversation I had with my dad. 2 days later, he passed away. The next 2 days, he couldn't talk. I went, that's why you wanted to share that with me in January. Well, then, what do you want me to say in February? And obviously, what you have heard is what he wanted me to say. What I really wanted to do on this one is to end with communion. On a number of occasions throughout the years, we celebrate communion in most CNMA churches. It's the first Sunday of the month since I've been here. You just never know. But I wanted it to be today. Now, normally when we share communion, it's obviously different than these cups and things that we have here in front of us. But it's an opportunity to be reminded of what Jesus did on the cross for us. And most of the time when we do it, I refer to that section of scripture out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. When Paul said, I want to tell you what I have learned about what Jesus did. I want to pass on to you what I have heard. You'll never believe this. The Lord Jesus, the very night he was betrayed, took bread and broke it and passed it out among his disciples. He said, take, eat, this is my body which I have given for you. After supper, he took a cup, he passed it around, which we'd never do today, and said, this cup represents a new covenant bought and paid for by the price of my blood. And Pastor Joe did a really good job a couple weeks ago sharing what that meant. Before you eat the bread and drink the cup, you need to make sure you're clean between you and God. Make sure you're right. Make sure the channel's open. And so that's why we always say, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you need to do that, because that's the only requirement at CAC to share in communion. That's normally what I do. But about a month ago, I knew I wanted to do it different today. I want to do out of one of the Gospels, this one specifically in Luke. I love Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I read the story of Jesus all the time, every year, and go through it and begin to look at the fact that every single one of them look at this experience in the upper room in a very different way. John is the only one that does the washing of the disciples' feet. He kind of the ones reminds us that he was his favorite. I'm Jesus' favorite. I'm his special one. Matthew and Mark are pretty similar. Luke adds something that no one else does that I really want to share with you this morning. Because in that moment, in that upper room experience, when Jesus is about to share his final meal with his disciples, he said to them, not with this hierarchy, this is who I am the Son of God kind of moment, but he shares with them as friends. And he makes this statement that's in Luke chapter 24. You have no idea how long I've looked forward to this moment. And you have no idea how much I want to share communion with you now. Now imagine, he had only been with those guys 3 years. Can you imagine how I feel with you today after all of this time? And why I wanted so bad, more than anything else, to have you here and so that we could share communion together. Because like Jesus said with the disciples, this is the last time I'll ever be able to do it with you in any way at all as the lead until I see you again in the kingdom. So today what I'd like you to do is take your cup, peel off that outer layer, and remember again what Jesus said he would do for us. Remember again his love and his passion. Not the fact that he was reminding them over and over again that he was the Son of God. I'm your friend. I love you like you can't imagine. So when I look at this, I realize that God loves me so much, he calls me his son. That if I was the only one on the planet, he'd still do what he did on the cross for me. I love the fact that not only does he love you, but I really love him. And he does too. So take the bread, peel off that little piece of plastic. Put it in your mouth, swallow it, and thank him for his love for you. Then as gently as you can, take that outer piece off and share the cup. Lord, it's hard to imagine what it was like for you in that upper room experience, knowing what you knew, knowing what was ahead of you, knowing how important it was for you to be able to share with the people that you love. And so I'm so delighted that we could be together, even in the midst of COVID and online here this morning. And I can look around and see people that I love. Faces that I've been a part of their life, families that I've experienced some of the most amazing moments on the planet. And for allowing me the privilege of being their friend. So Jesus, as we remember your love for us, the grace that you've given, the sacrifice you made, the passion with which you gave it, may we receive that love from you in a really remarkable way as we have shared these moments and as we sing together. In Jesus' name.